Wow. Let the Lord stir up the waters. Wow. David, it's good to have you here this morning. I missed you the last couple of weeks. Well, we've been speaking about the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit for quite a long time, and I'm not done yet. So let's turn to Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7. And it talks about, and what does this have to do with the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit? Well, you'll see, because we're going to be talking about how that plays out. What does it mean to have the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit? And that fruit of the Spirit brings something into our life that we didn't know before. See, because, you know, as Americans, in the Western civilization, everything's built on education. So from your first grade on up, you're given little quizzes, tests, and sometimes they're multiple choice, sometimes true and false. But at the end of the test, you get a score. You can take it home and show your parents or not. Most of the time, I chose not. But you compared your score with other people. So I got an 88. Oh, I got an 87, whatever it might be. And I would look up and say, I did pretty good. But it was always something to judge what you were doing. And in today's world, this a lot has to do with materialism as well. What kind of car do you drive? What kind of house do you live in? What job do you have? What career do you have? Monica Lewinsky just said this week, she said her biggest downfall was that she was trying to build that ladder to be important somehow because she felt that she wasn't important. So there's something in the gospel that wants to tell us something new and different than this world tells us. This world tells us to compare, contrast, show that you are better, that you can do better at least. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, it says, oh no, judge not that you may not be judged. So there's something he's trying to break right from the start. Your motivation needs to change. That word comes up a lot when you're with the Lord. Your motivation needs to change. For you're going to judge anyway. But he's talking about a judgment that's cruel and out of place. Verse 2, for what judgment you judge, it will be you will be judged in the same measure that you use. It will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and don't consider the plank that's in your own? How often that's been true in our life with our brothers and sisters, natural brothers and sisters, but also our spiritual brothers and sisters. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove this speck from your eye and look, a plank is in your own. You're not going to do well. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Vision, motivation for that is what the Lord is trying to get at. Interestingly, this next verse doesn't seem to fit, but it does. Verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Well, he just said don't judge, and yet now we're supposed to know what's holy and what are dogs. Did you catch that? And what's pearl? What are pearls and what is the swine? So there's something the Lord is trying to get to us. It isn't just about judging. It's about our heart attitude when we do it. Judgment isn't for condemnation, but judgment, really, righteous judgment, is for discerning the will of God. And when you look at a person, you're going to be doing judgment about that person, whether you want to or not. Oftentimes, a prophet will look at a person different than you do. You think that's true? He's trying to see what God, or he or she, what God is trying to do in their life. And suddenly, they'll spark of the Holy Spirit within them can say, I know what it is. You know, when Elihu said to Job and Job's friend, he said, listen, you guys are missing the whole thing. Everything to you is about judgment. I did this and God owes me that. And it's, I judge this to be correct, and God didn't really honor me. Wow. You're judging God, aren't you? I don't know that I would want to be in that place. In fact, I know I wouldn't want to be in that place from experience. God isn't about, this isn't about a contract of who's right and who's wrong. It's about what's in your heart. And when he died upon the cross, he could have said, oh, these guys, weed them out now. He didn't say that. He said, judge them not, Lord, for they don't know what they're doing even. And oftentimes they don't know what they're doing. In Iran right now, there are a lot of people that follow Islam that don't know what they're doing. They've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have never seen a Christian acting on that gospel through the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. That day is soon changing. It's changing in the church. It's changing in our administrations, government. It's changing worldwide. And there are martyrs there today like there were martyrs century after century. These things aren't working out very well for you. Many people come for counseling and say, this isn't working for me. Well, I got news for you. Don't give up. The key to success is to maintain your posture and keep seeking the Lord. Maybe you didn't get it the first time. Maybe there's something deeper in your heart he wants to expose, and he wants to get that out. He's a good surgeon. But you have to be willing. Verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. What do you have to do? Seek him. Knock and it'll be open to you. So there's something you have to do. You can't just passively say, Lord, whatever you want. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. To him who knocks, it will be open. Say that in your prayers. When you say, I don't understand what you're doing, Lord, say, I'm going to keep knocking until I find out. Or what man is there among you who is a son asks for bread? Will give him a stone, not too many. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give a serpent? And if then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to him who asks him? Well, we already know the answer. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, also do to them. For it is the law, and it is... For this is the law of the prophets. So what is it that he wants you to do? He wants you to do something different. Not putting yourself first, but putting others first. Because that's a pretty hard thing to do, actually. Why? Because we live in this body. That's the first thing that greets us in the morning. Ouch. Come on, let's get going. Ouch. Come on, let's get dressed. How come it's harder for me to get dressed today than it was yesterday? I don't know. But you need to ask the Lord to give you the strength and the spiritual wisdom that the gifts of the Spirit give you. You see, the gifts of the Spirit aren't for you to look good, but it's to give you the opportunity to grab hold of the fruit of the Spirit and bring it into your heart. As Brad was saying, not here, and in your heart, as long as 14 inches. But you got to go there. Have to go there. How hard is it? Well, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. It's a narrow place. For wide is the gate that, and broad is the way that leads to destruction or evil, and there are many who go by it. You're looking at other people and judging other people and saying, I don't know, everybody else is doing pretty well. Not necessarily so. Maybe on the outside. But that isn't even what counts. It's what's on the inside of you that counts. Am I getting through? That's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. Did I read that right? Difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. All right, so this is going to be a task. This is going to be a, there's going to be a quiz. And you're going to find it. Do you believe it? Yeah, that's right. So, Sharon, I'm glad you raised your hand. Because Sharon comes up here. She's stirring the waters. She isn't just sharing a prayer, something in her heart. She's stirring the waters. You afraid to do that? You afraid of her? I'm not. Stir those waters, Sharon. Amen. And then he talks about don't judge. No, now he's talking about judging even at a different level. Because now you're going to have the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit in you is going to change things, the way you judge. And he says, beware of false prophets. And I can almost tell you that when people start to prophesy, their guard lets down and just say, oh, just bring it in, whatever. That isn't where you should be. When a prophet prophesies, you should still judge to see if it's true. Does it line up with the Word of God? Most of all. Or is he just concerned about the gift of prophecy? See, it's a gift of the Spirit. But that gift is there to encourage the fruit of the Spirit. Again, I'm going to go back to that. Well, we're going to have a guest speaker tonight. And he has the gift of the Spirit like you wouldn't believe. Maybe I won't come. But you see, if you said, there's a guest speaker tonight, he has the gift of the Spirit, but the fruit of his ministry, wow. You just won't believe it. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So maybe you don't see that. Maybe it's disguised in some way, shape, or form in sheep's clothing. You will know them by their fruits. Well, look at their ministry. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So he's talking about fruit, real fruit now, not something that they say they have, but what is the real fruit of their ministry? If 2 weeks after they leave, nothing is visible, there were no fruit. Even so, every good tree that bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. In other words, there's good and bad. There's good and evil. You need to discern the two. A good tree cannot. I don't even know how the Lord can say this. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. So there's something that's put into you that cannot be taken away from you. If he created something good in you, he can't make you bad. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. They need to repent. Turn from their evil, wicked ways. The Lord keeps saying, turn away from this perverse and evil generation. Come to me, says the Lord. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. So the end is not going to be good. It may look good now, but the end is not going to look good. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. And almost every time there has been a ministry, it's always by their gifts you know them. And it's not true. And he says, oh, you guys that think you have it all together, I never knew you. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. So these guys coming in, you know, sheep's clothing, but saying, Lord, Lord, you know, I'm following the King, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does, here's the fruit, the will, does the will of my Father in heaven. What is he doing in his own life? He's having trouble in his marriage. There's something wrong. He's having trouble disciplining his children. There's something wrong. He isn't friendly and making friends. There's something wrong. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name. There they are. There's the gifts. We have cast out demons in your name. There's the gifts. Done many wonders in your name. There's the gifts. And then I will declare to them what he was after all along was a relationship. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now I know that everybody wants on their tombstone, well done, my faithful servant. But I think that's wrong. Although it may be true, I think I would rather have the Lord say, I knew him. Yeah. Because I think that's what's going to get us through the door, the gates of heaven. I think that's what's going to get us to the final judgment. Did you know him? You can't fake that. It can't be somebody else's relationship with Jesus. It's got to be yours. It can't be your gifts that are going to make you win. It's going to be the fruit of those gifts. And you're going to want them. You're going to covet them. You're going to bring them into your heart. Therefore, verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he's like somebody that's really cool. A wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house. That's what? Tribulation. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. If you're falling every time you get a cold, there's something wrong. After my wife gave birth to my children, I said, this is not a true story, but I said, now she knows how I feel when I get a cold. See, that's not true, but it's kind of funny. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, it's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So doing the word of God, in other words, it isn't just a gift. Now it's in your heart. And once it's in your heart, it gives forth something that you do to change life around you. Make a friend. Share the word of God. Share your life with Jesus. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew, beat on the house just like before, and it fell, and great was its fall. So it was that when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. Now you think that this teaching would be more discerned, more easily taken in by the crowd. Because most religions, and this is true, believe these things too. They believe something has to change in your heart. Goodness has to come in. Righteousness. Those things. They like the Buddhists believe that. See? So why wouldn't somebody who didn't know Jesus know these things? You would think it would be more open. They'd be more open. But they were saying, it wasn't just the fact that he was saying these things. He was saying these things with authority, that they were going to come to pass. Not as the scribes said, oh, we sure hope this is going to happen. We sure think it will happen. But no, he taught like, it will happen. It will happen to you. And when the rains come, it will happen to you. Nobody's, so the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Doesn't he say that? Yeah. So you say, well, why does the Lord do that? Why doesn't he spare me the trouble? Well, because you were born for trouble, just like Jesus was. You were born for trouble because what's in you is not what's in the world. Be saved from this perverse generation. So what are the outcomes? How is it that your life has changed? And this is the hardest thing for people to understand and actually do in their life. Because it goes against everything they learned in recess in eighth grade. So they just didn't learn this. Because they learned what was quote-unquote fair. That's not fair. How many times did you hear that when you were growing up? That's not fair. Something every time had to be fair. Well, when you're born in the Lord and the Holy Spirit is within you, you know fairness went out the window. Jesus says to them in verse 38, I think it's the next chapter, maybe not. I don't know. Where was I? That's the same chapter. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you something different. I tell you to do not resist the evil person. What? I thought we were supposed to run away from the evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Ever done that? The outcome is what you expect it to be. They just, well, they don't always repent and say, I'm sorry. They walk away and laugh at you. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him go. Have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Even give to him who asks, and to him who wants to borrow from you. Do not turn him away. There's a giving spirit within you that isn't going to get anything back for your troubles. Career ladders are a lot like that. You're not going to go anywhere in your career unless you understand that. I say, well, all he wants is to go to the next level in his career. And a good manager knows and understands that right away. You can see those who are climbing the career ladder. Rather, what does he want? Someone who can actually do the job, which was a totally different understanding than the person who wants to just be a better career person. I work for somebody like that in the Veterans Administration. I won't name his name, but he was a hard person to work with because he didn't like veterans. How could that happen? But I was like in his outer office, and he was in the inner office, and he was talking about a particular veteran and his family, and the four-letter words that went forth were not kind. And I heard the Lord say to me, you're working for the wrong man. I said, well, what do you want me to do about it? I said, well, the Lord said, I want you to write up your resignation. I did. 2 weeks later, I was out of there. I'm glad I did. I didn't go to the next ladder. They wanted me to. They wanted me to go to Washington. They wanted me to be a part of the Senate Subcommittee for Veterans Affairs. Lord knows how that would have ended up. Once people enter Washington, a different mindset is in the air. And I don't think it's the Lord. More and more you'll hear his name. But still, the mindset is career, power. And he says in verse 43, it's got to go deeper than that, Peter. You can't just accept them. So you've heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. How do you do that? So I just say it in prayer. I love them, Lord. Bless their little heart. Now it's got to really be real. Bless those who curse you. Do you think there are people that curse you? I know there were. In fact, I would walk into a meeting and they'd say, shh. Because they were swearing and they know they shouldn't have been. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Who's your Father? Not the world, but your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only and do not do more than others, that's what they do. Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect or whole, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. Seriously, Lord? You want me to go there? Yes. The answer is a resounding yes. He doesn't just want you to be partially there. You're wholly committed to this. Because those that are halfway committed don't end up well either. They're very bitter. And, you know, they curse God. Like Job's wife. Curse God and die. What kind of God do you serve? Interestingly, she survived. Don't ask me about Job. I like the Old Testament, but there's many things that I don't understand about it. I really love the scriptures in the New Testament because there's almost nothing I don't understand about it. Because the Holy Spirit is in me. Not because I'm smart, but because the Holy Spirit. Not because I read what the internet advisors tell me. Because I have the Holy Spirit within me. These are not complicated truths. There's ones you are familiar with and you've had to deal with in your life. They're not easy, but you've had to deal with them. Okay, I'm going to finish up. It's about motivation. The next thing Jesus says, take heed that you don't do charitable deeds before other people. So he's been talking all along about how you should behave. But now he's saying how you behave, but what is your motivation behind your big behavior? Because being seen, your deeds seen before men, means you're still climbing the ladder. You're still judging. You're still doing the things he doesn't want you to do. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. How do you get the reward from your Father in heaven? By doing things in secret. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before as the hypocrites do. So the people that do this, they advertise. And we contributed X to the born-again people. Aren't they wonderful? Yes, but not because you said so. They do it in the synagogues and in the streets, anywhere they have the opportunity, that they may have glory from men. Glory. What is glory but accolades, things that say, you're a good person. You truly are. I want to be your friend. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. That's it. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't get them through the gates of heaven. But when you do charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. That means it doesn't matter if people that you think should know about it know about it. Maybe they will never know. In fact, I know I have done things that I should have gotten a lot of rewards for, and I got none. When you get to be 78, you probably have a few. It says, let your charitable deed be made in secret, that your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And I don't know. I used to say, he's going to make the announcement. Well, he may not make the announcement before men, nor does he care to. The announcement is in his heart, the Father's heart. You're going to be there. What do we sing that song? I know who I am. I know who he is. He knows who you are. He's not mystified by some persona that you have. Of all the things that was mentioned about you in a yearbook, or not. I don't know, what was in your yearbook? Remember those? We had the couple most likely to succeed. And a picture of them. I was going through my yearbook yesterday. About the one that says, the most friendly. I didn't make that one. Those who were in the Glee Club, or those who were in Allstate. Those who were in, all these little clubs they have. I was in a one or two, but it was like, where I'm trying to find my picture, and it doesn't even look like me. Thankfully. Those are the accolades I'm looking for. They are worthless. Right? What I'm looking for is something to change in my heart. And I may have to endure pain. Now, most of us are used to pain in our flesh. Whatever disease processes you've gone through and are going through, we're used to and know what pain is. But pain in our heart is much worse. And yet the Lord wants us to embrace those pains too. Say, oh, there's been evil that's been done to me. It was very painful. But I don't accept that. I know what it is. I'm going to understand it. But what I'm looking for is something other than that. It's from my Father in heaven, who sent the Holy Spirit. His mercy sent the Holy Spirit down so that we all can prophesy, not just a few. We all can prophesy. We all can have the gifts of the Spirit. So, hallelujah, we can all prophesy now. But it isn't for prophecy. Paul says over and over again, prophecy is for something in you called love to come forth. And that word love is used so ubiquitously in society that we don't even know what it means. In fact, when we hear it, we just turn it off. Love. What does that mean? Well, what does it mean to you? Well, it can mean laying down your life for your brother and sister, picking them up to go to church. It can mean sharing the word of God when that's the last thing you want to do. You see that person and everything about them reminds you of the evil that you were once. And the Lord says, well, I want you to bring them to the Lord. Think you'd be able to do that? Well, I think you could. In fact, I know you can. Because he's stirring up the waters here today. Today was a little different, I think. I think something that happened today, just in a measure, is going to happen without measure in our midst. Right, Brad? It's going to stir up the waters more and more and more until we won't be able to understand what he's doing totally. But we'll see what he's doing, and we can feel what he's doing in our heart. And you can say, oh, Lord, just bring it on. Bring on your blessing on this church, the personality of this church, who we are as a church. Instead of wishing and hoping, it's going to happen. Amen? All right. I think I got a few people. Amen. Oh, Father, we ask you to go before us. Lord, not on our own horse, but yours. The Kentucky Derby is an amazing race. It's interesting. It's only a mile. It's like a mile. That's a long distance. Not for a horse, is it? So none of those horses after a mile are tired. So the Kentucky Derby, the one who wins, wants to win. He doesn't want to endure because he already knows he can run a mile real fast. Oh, Lord, we want to be like them. Say, we want to win this race, not for ourselves, not for the next glory, but for you, that you can bring in those that are lost. And we talked about a little bit this morning. They have no vision to see you, no hope to see you. Those are the ones we're after, not just the prodigals, but the ones who have lost hope in the world, those that are broken boards and bent nails, as we are. Amen.